Let's listen to today's New Testament lesson that is from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who were received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. This morning we have a gospel lesson that comes from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Let us listen to the word. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
I have never been very athletic. In fact, the only sport I was any good at was bowling. So when I was growing up, in the few instances that I was attempting to be part of a neighborhood game, I was one of the last kids picked. I can remember the feeling of dread as each kid was called to a side and there were fewer and fewer of us. As I said, I only attempted this a few times because the rejection was too painful. Growing up, I had a couple of close friends. I was never part of the clique or the in crowd or the popular girls. I'm an introvert and a bookworm, and I preferred the comfort of my books and my music to subjecting myself to rejection by groups of people. I was always an outsider. Culturally, I've always been an outsider too. I look like many of you, with my white skin and my green eyes. I speak English just like you do, with the exception of my Bronx accent, of course. And yet, I do not identify with the white culture. On the flip side of that, I grew up in a Puerto Rican family, in a white neighborhood in Jersey City, right after the race riots, when the city was very segregated. The only time I was around my people was when I was with my family. My friends were white, black, Irish, Italian, Jewish, all kinds of religions and ethnicities, which was great, but that meant I spoke mostly English. I can read Spanish, no problem. I can write it, no problem. And yes, I can speak it, but not with the fluency and certainly not with the vocabulary that I have in English. And that has made me feel like an outsider, even in my own culture. So when I read this passage in Acts, the first thing that came to my mind was, them too? I could picture Peter saying, God, are you telling me that we have to include these people too? And God responding to Peter saying, yes, there should be no outsiders. Prior to the verses in Acts we heard today, there's an encounter of sorts between Peter and Cornelius by way of two visions. So Cornelius is a centurion, which means that he's a Gentile. He's not Jewish, he's part of the Roman army. But we're told that he is God-fearing, devout, he prays constantly, and he's generous with his alms. Now in the vision that Cornelius receives, an angel of the Lord comes to him, and he says, send men to Joppa and go and find Simon Peter. And then the angel tells him where Peter is staying. Cornelius sends the men to find Peter. The next day, Peter is up on the roof of the place where he's staying, and he's hungry, so he's waiting for someone to prepare him some food. And as he's waiting, he enters into some sort of trance. And while he's in this trance-like state, he sees all kinds of four-legged animals, reptiles, and birds coming down from heaven. And a voice says to him, kill and eat. And Peter's response is, no, because he has never eaten anything that is profane or unclean. And the voice says to him, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. And that happened three times. I'm sure that was confusing to Peter. And at that very moment, the men from Cornelius arrive, and Peter invites them in. They stay, and the next day they leave with Peter and some other believers and go back to Caesarea, where Cornelius is. And there they find all bunch of people assembled to meet this famous fisherman, Peter. And Peter mentions to them, you know, it's unlawful for Jews to associate or visit with Gentiles. But God has shown me that I shouldn't call anyone profane or unclean. And then Peter shares the good news with all of them. So we're picking up the story this morning when the Gentiles are assembled there and they receive the Holy Spirit. The circumcised believers, the Jewish believers, they're amazed that the Gentiles are getting the same gift of the Holy Spirit that they received. And they're thinking, them too? Whereas before, the Gentiles were outsiders, now they're included. Let us not call anyone profane or unclean. And is it amazing that after 3 years with Jesus, Peter still has to learn this lesson? After all, Jesus included the Samaritan leper, who was the only one of 10 who came back and thanked him for his healing. Jesus included the woman with the issue of bleeding for 12 years, where in her village she was an outsider, she was unclean. And he said her faith had made her whole. And Jesus included the woman caught in adultery. Jesus included Matthew, the tax collector, as one of his 12 disciples. And Jesus included the thief who was crucified beside him and told him, this very day you will be in paradise with me. Jesus taught us to love our enemies. There is no room in anything that Jesus ever said or ever did for exclusion. No room. And through this experience with Cornelius, Peter finally understands that salvation includes others who are not Jewish. Others are to be included in this new Israel, and God's love for the outsider is made clear. The Gentile believers belong as much to the household of God as the Jewish believers. God does not discriminate. In our society, we have a world full of boundaries. No trespassing signs warn the uninvited that they need to stay out. Sports have spaces that are delineated and called out of bounds. Railroad tracks often cut a town between this side and the other side of the tracks. Border walls keep insiders in and outsiders out. Do not trespass means keep out. We even have gated communities, insiders in, outsiders out. And whether the boundaries are visible or invisible, they segregate us. Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in the country. Not even the church is free of this them and us thinking. Neither society or the church has figured out how to overcome racism, sexism, ageism, nationalism, heteroism, and other prejudices. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit can accomplish its purposes despite any boundaries that we humans put in place. Amen? And as we reflect on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles in the early church, are there really any boundaries that are so rigid that they are impenetrable for the Holy Spirit? No, there are not. I learned about this pastor. His name is Scott Knowlton, and he was setting up to preach at his 8:30 service, and he's at the Mason United Methodist Church near Huntington, West Virginia. And he was going to talk about Jacob and Esau. And then he noticed out in the congregation there was a young deaf man sitting out in the church. And he got this nudge from the Holy Spirit. And he decided to take a whole different direction with his sermon. He decided to type it and project it on the wall, and he didn't speak for 30 minutes. And as he began, that young man burst into tears. Knowlton says it's one of the most memorable sermons I've ever preached, and not because of what I said, but because of how I said it. That, my friends, is inclusion. And if the Holy Spirit was able to break the boundaries between the Jews and the Gentiles, imagine what the Holy Spirit can do now between people of different races, ideologies, and other differences. The Holy Spirit gave Peter and Cornelius visions so that they could see the world differently. What will it take for you to see the world differently? We give the Holy Spirit a hard time to break through our stubborn desire for things to stay the way they are. One of my first accounting jobs, I was an internal auditor for the Archdiocese of Newark. And whenever they installed a new pastor, we were sent out to audit the books so that everything would be in order for the incoming pastor. I was 23 years old, and I would meet with bookkeepers who had been serving in their churches as bookkeepers longer than I had been breathing. So when I questioned them about a journal entry or an expenditure or anything really, invariably I got one of two answers. The first one was, because Father said so. And the second one was, we've always done it that way. Both responses were meant to indicate to me that I was to butt out of their business and that they were not interested in doing things differently or having someone from the outside telling them they needed to change. We desperately need the Holy Spirit to help us break the boundaries that we have put in place. We need the Holy Spirit to help us include people, and we also need love. We need to realize there is no them and no us. We are called to love each other as God loves us. Love one another. You'll see by the slide up on the screen, it's in scripture several times. And when something is repeated multiple times like that in scripture, it means pay attention, take notice, and act on it. Love one another. We throw the word love around way too much. I love lobster. I love those cute shoes that someone might be wearing. I love exercise. Oh, wait, does anyone really say that? I don't know how that got in there because I would not say that. But anyway, you get the point. We love everything. And there are several Greek words for love, But the love that is talked about in these verses that we heard Pastor Ji-sun read from the Gospel of John is agape love, and that is the highest form of love. That is the love of God for humanity and the love of humanity for God. And agape love is primarily interested in the other person rather than in our own interests. And agape love isn't limited by the scarcity that comes with time and place. You can have a few good friends, fewer lovers, but agape is for all. In verses 16 through 17 of John 15, Jesus tells his disciples that they didn't choose him. He chose them. And Jesus has chosen each one of you too. He has chosen each one of you to receive his commandment to love one another. And with that commandment to love one another comes responsibility. We have the responsibility to love all people, regardless of what they look like, where they are from, what language they speak, or how they think. We have the responsibility to break down the boundaries that we erect to keep different people out. And we need to be committed to loving and caring for those people who are out on the margins. We need to widen the circle so that we are all insiders and there are no outsiders. We need to be bearing fruit, making more disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us, knowing that Jesus is with us always until the end of the age. Amen.